chapter 5, starting with the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And this, brothers and sisters, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I want to start just rereading the Micah passage for today. Listen to what the Lord says. "Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear you, mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak from Moab plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000s of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Lord." There has been a shift in paradigms, and I've been talking a little bit about this. There has been a change. A successful congregation, it's not the one, and I repeat, and I know this is being broadcasted, it's not the one that has the beautiful building, the one that, although this building is really beautiful, in my opinion, the one that has the healthy budget, mission trips. The one that has the coolest band, the biggest memberships, nor the largest attendance. Success in ministry has to do with what we're doing as a congregation in relation to the ones suffering, to the ones hungry, or the oppressed, and or the oppressed. That's the reality in this already there but not yet kingdom. That's the reality. Reality that's not new at all. It is not. So instead of thinking how to be a 21st century church, how about thinking on how to be a church in the kingdom of God? Today, I just read again Micah. And a segment of the Sermon on the Mount, those two things, the reading of Micah and a segment of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the Beatitudes, what we just heard. Specifically, this Beatitude segment, let's explore that. Let's explore those two things. Let's explore a little bit of how those two passages inform this new paradigm that, as a church, we are challenged with. This morning we began hearing, there are so many things here, my God. This morning we began hearing God say, "What's your problem, Israel? Let me remind you about the things I've done for you. What's your claim? Answer me." That's basically what he is saying. God's calling attention to the God-Israel relationship. And what is the most basic in this relationship? What is the most basic thing in this relationship? What does God require? It's the question that's bothering these people. This is a relationship that requires certain expectations. And if we wish to ignore that, well, we can do that. That's not wise. And those expectations are, regardless of whatever you think those expectations are, they're to do justice, depending on the version that you're reading, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Three things. You see, we cannot talk about the Beatitudes without acknowledging our accountability in the relationship we have with God. Yeah, I say that everything is grace related. That means that we receive without even deserving. But that doesn't mean that we are accountable. That we're not accountable, I should say. How do we take into account the doing justice part? The loving kindness. They're so general, they're so ambiguous. And the walking humbly with God. Where to begin? But that's at the core of this new paradigm. going to really is. You might go to Israel and they might tell you, well, it could be among these 20 mountains. But no one knows. There's not a specific spot that Jesus wrote on a stone, I was here, or something like that. So, but we know it was, according to the Gospel of Matthew, it was a mountain. And over coffee, we can talk about why Matthew thought it was a better place, a mountain, than a plain, which is where it happens. We don't know where this mountain really is, but we do know, or if you don't, I'm going to tell you, not because I've been there, because I haven't, that from that, the mountains in Galilee, they're not really, really, really high. They're not really high. They're not huge mountains. So this place where they're at, it's not either an isolated place. It's not far. Galilee is not a huge place. So this mountain, which is not really tall, and it's not really isolated, they cannot feel separate from the world in that mountain. Most probably, from this mountain, they were able to see the whole city. The whole city, especially during the day. And in seeing the whole city, everything that happens there, everything, even some near cities that were in development back then, that might meant more taxes for the regular folk. They were able to have a little picture of their own reality just by standing on that mountain and looking at their surroundings. And then I could see Jesus saying something like, let's go and see our town. Let's see everybody and I'll show you this perfect vision. Let's go to this perfect spot so we can see what's going on. And I'm going to tell you about this new world. The Beatitudes, brothers and sisters, are central to the Gospel of Matthew. He is going to refer to them in many other scriptures along the Gospel. How then are we participating in the coming of this kingdom? That's one of the themes in Matthew. And that's a question for us. How are we participating in the coming of this kingdom? But this is also central in our new paradigm. How are we? Forget about the Israelites. How are we participating in the kingdom that we proclaim? Jesus, when he is talking about these things that are enviable or make us being blessed, he is mentioning everything that people are experiencing. He's not saying things that they cannot relate to. He is not making up a story. He is talking about the real things that were happening. People were hungry. People were poor. not only in financial means, but also in spirit. They were oppressed. Jesus is mentioning everything they are experiencing, but also he is mentioning the blessings that were being experienced as well. Jesus is giving words, brothers and sisters, to those things they have experienced already. Not only look what Jesus did for me, but look at what Jesus is doing in the world. Look at what Jesus is doing. He is doing things for me, but he is doing other things outside my reality, outside my community, outside my congregation, outside my family and my neighborhood. Jesus' presence makes a difference. I've said this many times, and I won't get tired of it, even though I know you know it. Jesus' presence makes a difference here and now. His presence is not impacting or affecting or influencing the future. It's affecting, influencing, and impacting the here and now. And we are part of that difference. We are part of that difference. And we have to ingrain that in our thick skulls, in our thick heads. Starting with me. Jesus is present. He's present, and his presence makes a difference. But we are part of that difference as well. In the doing justice, in the loving kindness, and intentionally walking with God. We give throughout those things, we give witness to God and its kingdom. There lies the success. Not in the beautiful and joyful sacred bubbles. There lies the success. Not in the beautiful and joyful and happy place, sacred bubbles. That's the church in the kingdom of God. And if we want to be a church in the kingdom of God, we have to step up and do that. And forget about the notion about being this awesome, people-pleasing, and I don't know, community-centered kind of church, a place where everyone wants to be in, everyone wants to be a part of. Yeah, the place where the worship is so awesome that, you know, let's make it short and sweet because we want to hear more of that awesome music the band's playing. Why go out? If we have a lot of members here, we don't have to go out to the community. The church has to step up. and face the challenges of the kingdom and see who are they serving. Because the church I proclaim and the kingdom I proclaim calls the church to serve the people of God. That's the new paradigm. That's the challenge, to try to be that church that does ministry outside instead of inside. That's the church in the kingdom of God. May God, Holy Spirit, move us and reshape us into her image. Amen.
Our hymn of the day is number 7.